Hey, there we go. Hello. Welcome to El Clasico Podcast.
It's El Clasico Podcastico. I'm Paige McCann, Barcelona fan.
And I'm Mark Valinsky, Real Madrid fan. And we are excited to bring you this February, this cold February edition of El Clasico Podcastico. Although it's like 60 degrees out in Brooklyn.
It's really nice out. Yeah, it's like 50 degrees, and it's our last episode of February.
I know. We've been just filling up February. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. No, we already have 7 episodes in February.
Wow, we're cranking them out.
Cranking them out. I think we just hit it right. Well, it's just game. It's just jam-packed.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like we're podcasting a lot. It must be 10 times as tough for the players who are actually playing this frequently.
I know. We're like, God, we got to talk for a little while. It's grueling.
I think Frankie de Jong is running a marathon twice a week.
Oh, do the stats bear that out? Probably.
It's got to be around there. I think he runs like 15 kilometers a match, so...
That's why Messi's taking it easy.
Yeah, exactly. That is a thing with Messi because, you know, he never moves when he doesn't have the ball.
Yes.
He's like, is there someone put a statue out on the field of Messi? A wax figurine? But it is Messi out there.
Hey, and he's like Trump, man. He knows. Only got so many heartbeats.
That's right, exactly. No, I actually read that it's because, actually, in like 2013, when he had his bad year for injuries, they said you've got to mitigate this, like how much you run. You've got to get that number down a little bit control when and where you run. And since then, Messi has been strolling through the park when he's not. But he's in good positions is the thing. He's walking around in quote-unquote dangerous zones on the field, which are good statistically for like scoring goals. The more you have a player on that position in the field, the higher statistically you're scoring.
Well, it certainly seems to be working.
Yeah. It worked against Elche this weekend.
Some magical Messi vintage. I'll throw out some vintage.
Vintage. Whoa.
Some of those goals. Magisterial.
Yeah, it's sad to admit we don't mention that Messi is aging because then it makes it real. If you think about it and really focus on the fact that time is passing as we watch him play.
I don't see too much of it. We, of course, you go back and listen to the first, I don't know, couple dozen episodes of this season, which I think we're at about 40 episodes for this season just because
right.
Out of our 110, we've had about just because there's matches every day. Mm-hmm. We were down. We were like, this seems like the end.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
I mean, it's like a 180. I mean, he's crushing it. He's got 18 goals already.
Yeah, absolutely. He's leading the field. He's gone in for that Pichichi Award again this year in La Liga, trying to beat his former teammate and maybe best friend, Luis Suarez.
Who knows? Can we measure friendship? Someone tell us. Is he Messi's best friend?
Yeah, I don't know. What would that? How
Where's
would you
Neymar?
Scale that?
Is Neymar on there? I heard that Messi needs a psychologist, or he said he needs a psychologist, and he doesn't have a lot of close friends.
That makes a lot of sense. He's a very isolated person. He only hangs out with like his family and his kids. Luis Suarez was like his only real confidant on the team, he is in a tough place. And we've actually said like the whole team needs psychologists right now to help them through what's going on. And for some reason, they don't. And like Koeman doesn't support it. And Barcelona doesn't do it. Yeah. So for whatever reason, we're not seeing like a sports therapist right now, as many teams do, like most in the professional leagues across Europe and America.
Oh, I wonder what Real Madrid do for that. I mean, Barcelona, just in general, I mean, you could probably write a book about the psychology of these European super clubs, just the scrutiny, the heat lamp they're under Like getting yelled at, Griezmann gets apparently accosted every time he gets off. Like what? Like they're always surrounded at airports. I feel like.
Yeah. Well, apparently Clement Longley has really taken the game against Cadiz to heart, and all of the like online firestorm that went his way afterwards, and like people crowding around his car when he was leaving the stadium. There was that video that came out, that viral video of him like crying in his car as people are like crowding around. So yeah, they're certainly in the spotlight, and these are human beings that are playing this game.
Yeah.
And that tends to get forgotten, sort of swept aside. And, yeah, so it's tough. The pressure these players are under, they could use with a little conversation with a professional.
Yeah. Weird. That's strange to me that they don't support it. Maybe they just don't want to shell out the, hey, psychologist not covered by insurance. I mean, in Europe, I think it's all covered, but,
yeah.
I don't have a psychologist cause it's expensive.
Yeah, we don't have the money for that. And Barcelona
shelling out $250 an hour.
Yeah, Barcelona can't afford a therapist right now.
No, they just literally cannot. But Hey, you guys didn't need it. We'll get to Real Madrid, so we'll do a quick rundown of what we're going to talk about. We're going to do Barcelona beat Elche, obviously, so we're going to talk about that. Then we're going to go into Real Madrid's really kind of boring game against Atalanta, but an important Champions League win
with a lot of decisions in that game that were interesting.
Oh yeah, so we'll talk about those. Those'll be fun. And oh yeah, I love talking about red cards. I don't know, something about refereeing decisions gets me real amped up.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, just opinions, you just know there's going to be heated opinions.
Furious. And I hate refs. I think they should be defunded like the police.
there you go. We support defunding the police and refs on
that's right
podcast to go. And then we have a fun segment at the end. Well, we're going to do previews of Barcelona and Real Madrid's La Liga games this weekend, or technically on Monday. Oh, they're going to be on Monday. And then we're going to do, what jobs do we think Real Madrid and Barcelona players would have if they weren't footballers? We're going to roll out a few of those today. We're going to have a few more over the upcoming episodes. That would be a fun thing. There's some obvious ones, I feel like.
It's a segment we might call day jobs or something.
Yes, yeah, I like that. I like that, day jobs. So, without further ado, a big game for Barcelona and a recapico.
That's right. It's time to jump into the first recapico of the episode. Barcelona in a La Liga matchup played against Elche at home. As Mark mentioned, lowly Elche. They're currently now 19th in the Liga standings. They were 18th going into this game, and we needed points terribly because, as we know, Atletico Madrid had just dropped points prior to this in the game against Levante, opening the door for Real Madrid and Barcelona to claw a little bit back. Madrid did their part, and Barcelona did not, as they tied Cadiz 1-1. Leaving us, I think, still 8 points back of Atletico Madrid at the time. And now, thanks to this game against Elche, we are back into third above Sevilla. Sevilla does have a game in hand. And 2 points back from Real Madrid, 5 points behind Atletico Madrid. But it's going to be tough to come back from. But we
have a game in hand.
Yes, they do have a game in hand. But we needed to get the 3 points from this game.
The day I will get to stop saying game in hand is, I don't know, I'm going to feel just 50% better.
Right. Yeah.
Can they just play the same amount of games?
Why do they have to make it so confusing? But anyway, we definitely need to get 3 points from this. It's a guaranteed win for the team, basically. Like, it's expected that we beat Elche, and we absolutely have to keep it competitive on Liga.
Well, and by the way, this is a match that Real Madrid tied Elche.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
so they're not pushovers. I mean, we see this with everybody, but these little guys aren't pushovers.
No, absolutely. Yeah, they're fighting in these, like, the biggest matches of the year for them, and they always show up for them. And thank God, Koeman finally tinkered with the lineup a little bit after starting the same 11, exact same 11 against Cadiz and PSG, neither of which gave us any near acceptable performances. From obviously, we had Ter Stegen in goal. From left to right on defense, we had Jordi Alba. Samuel Umtiti, Gerard Piqué, and Oscar Mingueza, the young man. In midfield, we had Pedri, Miralem Pjanic instead of Sergio Busquets, and Frankie de Jong. And then from left to right up top, Brathwaite, Messi, and Trincao. Very good there. I like the selection of Trincao in place of Dembele up top. Dembele's had such poor games over the last couple, PSG and Cadiz. And then so is Griezmann. So let's start Brathwaite, at least. I wanted Conrad to start, but I was like, oh, we'll sub him in the second half since it's Elche and we'll get him some time. And Brathwaite can just stay wide over there. He's sort of inconsequential as it is, playing on that left wing spot, you know?
Yeah.
Umtiti playing at center back, nothing much we can do about that. Obviously, he's going to give long lay of rest after that confidence destroying game against Cadiz and against PSG.
Check him into a nice place with, you know, like some grounds, and he gets to wear a robe all day, like just for a week.
Yeah, he should. Have
he just needs like rehab, like soccer rehab.
I agree.
He just gets to write poems about like squirrels. Although that might remind him of Pooch, though, and then he goes into a whole spiral. Yeah. So maybe not squirrels.
Maybe not squirrels. What would be good for him? He can just watch the World Cup games from when he won with France.
There you go. Yeah, that's perfect. I think we could make a facility.
Watch the 2018 World Cup over again.
I think we have a business idea here, Baden.
Have some tea, yeah, and get in the sauna.
Yeah.
I love it. But we needed to win this game, especially after dropping those points to Cadiz, and with our game coming up this Saturday against Sevilla. We need to keep our hat in the ring in La Liga and get these 3 points. And we got off to a wild start in this one. A minute into the game, Trincao controls the ball nicely on the baseline and plays a great 1-2 with De Jong and gets a shot off from a tight angle that's denied by Badia. And then the fifth minute, Elche storm right back. Terrible defending from Umtiti. PK didn't exactly cover himself in glory either on this play. As the cross gets sent in and PK can't get a foot to it. And Umtiti just sort of stands and watches as Boye gets the ball from about 6 yards out in the middle. And he's just standing for about a minute and a half thinking about it. And luckily, he just sails the shot way
I'm
over the crossbar.
Ready for it.
Hang it.
He's like, am I going to take it?
All right.
Go ahead and take one.
And then Vinny watched that and was like, okay, got it. Taking notes. Okay.
That's how it's done for future efforts. But it's back and forth. Barcelona, I mean, we have control of the ball. We just can't quite seem to get that final pass or that great last touch. Mm. We have opportunities and we can't quite finish. In the 20th minute, another great chance for Trincao as he makes a fantastic dribbling effort. He cuts back to the left inside the box to take the shot, and somehow Badia saves it. He like cuts to the left past the defense after some nice dribbling. He's wide open on goal. It's just him, the keeper, and the back of the net, and he chooses the keeper to shoot it to. Basically right to Badia. So close.
Should have had a brace. There.
Yeah, absolutely. But promising. Like, I still like it. It wasn't the final effort that we needed, but it was, he did the hard part, you know?
Yes, exactly.
So it's halftime, and it's 0-0. Dembele comes on for Pjanic. Pjanic didn't add much to the game, and he had a few errant passes. He actually had one moment of brilliance that was followed by a moment of sheer idiocy. So, I don't know. Do you know what I'm talking about? He traps the ball one time near the sideline, like fakes one player out, then nutmegs the next one to get out of this little two-on-one trap that they tried to get him in, snakes out of it with a nutmeg, and then just like forgets where he is, gets the ball taken off him and bounces off his head and stolen from him. So I don't know.
I don't think I was on the sideline. I think I do. I was like, what's he doing there?
Yeah, it was so weird. But we're playing well. Yeah, just can't, again, quite connect on those final passes in the last third. And then when we do see an opportunity on goal, we're either not taking it or we just can't get it on target. And so coming in the second half, Dembele comes on for Pjanic. And this is more like it, because in the 48th minute, Messi got the ball like 40 yards from goal. And he dribbles up towards the box before passing it up to Martin Brathwaite. Martin Brathwaite's posting up the center back inside the box. And Brathwaite just lays it off beautifully with a little back heel back to Messi, just past the outstretched defender's foot. And Messi manages to slide it in the goal with enough pace to beat Badia's hands and hits the back of the net. It's a beautiful play, and it's 1-0 Barcelona.
Badia, yeah, almost. He did the exact movement he did on one of Trincao's, and I was like, oh, I think he saved it. Nope, mm-hmm. Not this time.
Not quite. I mean, I thought he may have pushed it wide of the goal, but luckily it just trickles into the side of that net. It was a beautiful play, though. And that's why it was nice having Dembele come on, actually, for Pjanic, and Messi dropping back into mm-hmm. the midfield, which is so interesting. But it's more of the position that he's naturally playing. We don't just have a vacant hole at the nine position with Messi playing, like, basically center defensive mid while lined up at the nine. And moving Brathwaite over from left wing, where he isn't a winger, he is, like, truly more of a number nine, and he showed it here because he played so much better immediately when we put him in that striker position. So it was a great layoff from him. Beautiful.
What a run from Messi. It was like a vintage, another vintage Messi run.
Mm-hmm.
It was a burst of pace past a couple of guys, and it was perfect control to get in that tight space. And and the layoff too. But you guys had some brilliant goals this game.
We really did. Yeah, and it's as if Messi does his whole walking and standing in place just to lull the defense to sleep so he can choose these moments to explode. That was so beautiful. Yeah, great classic Messi goal right here. 1-0 Barcelona. And then we're pretty much controlling things. In the 67th minute, Busquets comes on for Trincao. And you're like, that's interesting. Like, why are we bringing Sergi Busquets on? We're up 1-0.
Hold the line, Elche.
Hold!
1-0. Hold it!
Koeman thinks we're getting away with something, being up 1-0 to Elche. So he brings in the reserves to keep things as safe as possible.
The Genghis Khan's army, Elche.
That's right. I mean, I thought he went with a new lineup. We're going to see different players in this game, and we'll mix things up and inject some energetic, you know, exciting new blood into it. But instead, we sub Dembele in at halftime for Pjanic, and then Busquets in for Trincao in the 67th.
The applesauce crew.
But it works out because a minute later, Pedri steals the ball from Elche really nicely in our own half along the left sideline. He passes it up to De Jong. De Jong turns and runs upfield, dances past Omanuki Mfulu, ignores a tug on the jersey from Gonzalo Verdú, and then he finds Messi running in behind. Messi gets the ball, the back pass from De Jong, touches it, feints past the defender, touches it again, feints, and finally dinks it past Badia for the golazo! Come
the
on,
touch.
Baby!
God, with honey on every step.
It absolutely was. Golden touches all along the way, just tiptoeing through the defense and dinking it past Badia. A gorgeous run from the Dutch boy as well, De Jong. And then just...
what a run.
Incredible. And then just an emasculating... cold as the ice that runs through his veins finish from Lionel Messi, the GOAT, and Barcelona are now up 2-0.
Yeah, just to bring this back to a bad memory for you, that Messi goal reminded me a little bit of Mbappe's first one, in that you were just like, how did he get that many touches off?
Right.
That tight. There's guys everywhere, you know, in the box. There's six guys there. He manages to take, like, four touches.
It's incredible, really. Like, his reflexes, like, his reactions, because he plays offense by reacting to what the defense does. So his ability to react in those microseconds, like, and then the touches, like, the skill it takes to get the touch with the right strength to know you'll be able to run back onto this ball before any of these people who are surrounding you get to it. It's just amazing.
Soccer looks really hard.
Yeah, it really is.
I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, because you have to. How do you look at all those things? I always wonder this about soccer. Like, how do you look at all the things at once? Because Messi's got to be looking at all the defenders in that situation. He's got to be looking at the goalie. And I guess he doesn't look at his own feet.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of looking near all of the things.
Yeah, it's like you split your man in the ball when you're playing defense. Like, you're sort of looking between all of these things and kind of taking it in with your peripherals. Yeah.
Oh, incredible. Oh, and the little dink. Mm-hmm. I actually couldn't. I watched the replay a couple times of the goal. I couldn't even figure out which foot he finished with.
Just lightning fast. Yeah, it's unbelievable how good he still is. I mean, just.
And the brace, like you predicted, a brace.
Yep. Got the brace. I predicted a 4-0 win for Barcelona in this game with a new lineup. And we probably should have had that. But yeah, got the brace, and I'll take that for a good prediction. And then 5 minutes after that goal, in the 73rd minute, after a nice 1-2 between Jordi Alba and Pedri to get out of our own half, Alba receives the ball back and takes it upfield before finding Messi about 30 yards from goal, top right of the box. Messi has the ball, takes a couple touches, cuts back across the goal towards the middle of the field, and then plays another one of those pretty looping crosses from the top right to the bottom left of the box that have been working over this month of February. Brathwaite gets on at the end of this one and just nods it back towards center, where Jordi Alba is waiting in the wings. Alba measures it up,
Lord,
just jumps and sidekicks the half volley home. It's a beautiful strike.
Wait, did you said Zlatan and Ibrahimovic, right?
No, I know, right? No,
no. Oh,
left back Jordi Alba. Unbelievable.
Incredible. He's been watching his Zlatan. He's like, okay, I go like this. Okay, so it's sideways. Okay, gotcha.
It's only his second goal of the year. And both of his goals have been phenomenal this season.
Yeah, volleyed rocket was his first. Yeah, he can only do volleys.
Yeah, man, this was such a nice goal. Incredible from Jordi Alba.
Work of art. And once again, it's Brathwaite on the creating the assist.
Yeah, great pass from Brathwaite, his second assist of the game. What a good game for Brathwaite it turned out to be, and a good game for Barcelona in general. You know things are going well when Jordi Alba gets a goal.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. How many assists is I don't think Brathwaite really even has that many assists, and yet he acted like Iniesta this game with the difficulty of both the first one, that back heel, kind of just lay off perfectly to Messi, and then the header, which is so difficult to get that pace right, especially on the ball from Messi, which was a long way out. It's like. Controlling a 30-yard pass with your head to lay it off to. I mean, I don't even my brain can't comprehend how difficult that is.
No, I mean, they're both very difficult plays live in the moment. And to put it in perspective a little bit, Martin Brathwaite doesn't have that many assists. He had two assists in this game, and those are his two assists on the season.
Wow.
So, yeah, but really good. I mean, maybe he's figuring it out. And then we're up 3-0, right? 73rd minute. It's the 76th minute, and we see a triple sub from Koeman here. Now we're up 3-0, and we're seeing a triple sub. You're thinking, oh, sweet. All right, so maybe Pooch here? Okay, maybe it's Conrad coming in.
You were like,
Who are we going to see? Yeah, who's going to really shake things up? Okay. Griezmann is coming in for Brathwaite. Sergiño Dest is coming on for Jordi Alba, which that's cool. And then Clément Longley comes on for Gerard Piqué. So basically, the subs that we brought on gave Koeman the exact same lineup we had in the embarrassments to PSG and Cadiz just before this game happened, with the exception of Longley coming on for Piqué and Dest for Alba. But, I mean, this is essentially the same lineup we saw for the last two games. So what's up with this?
You know, you don't want to use the last few minutes to, like, build youngsters' confidence, give these young stars of the future a little bit of time. You want to make it as boring as possible for the viewers.
It doesn't make any sense. We don't need these players that, like, I mean, the constant starters of the team to come on for the last 15 minutes in a game when we're up
3-0. And the three worst ones.
Yeah. Aside from Dest, I'll say, why bring on Griezmann and why bring on Longley?
No shade on Dest.
No, it was literally just to try and build up the confidence of the players who are supposed to be the stars of this team.
This is what drives me crazy. Like, are we ever going to see De La Fuente? The player that Koeman said was the most impressive young player in, I think, preseason, right?
Yep. Yeah. In the preseason, he said Conrad is the most, the most impressive young player that we've had. And look how that's worked out.
I guess he has to impress in the bench room or whatever. On the bench press.
I mean, he has like 2 games for us this year. It's ridiculous. I really don't understand it at all. So instead he brings in Griezmann has been seeing this onslaught now that we've the ball started rolling in this game. And he wants his share in the scoring.
Yeah.
So I think he ties up his ponytail and he's like, get me in there. I got to
get an easy one.
Scavenge me a goal today. And in the 82nd minute, after an incredible pass from Pedri to Sergiño Dest, Dest is making a run up the left side of the field. And Pedri finds him beautifully, like turning. It's an amazing pass. Dest gets the ball running down the left and sees Griezmann making the run alongside of him in the center of the box. He's beaten the defense. Dest puts it on a platter for Antoine, and Antoine Griezmann makes a meal of it. He is all alone in front of the goal, smashes the ball off the crossbar. The keeper, Badia, is on the ground. The ball hits off the crossbar, falls perfectly back to Antoine Griezmann, as if God said, here, try again. And he follows up his own rebound, and he hits the ball securely over the crossbar this time with his chest. Just insane. What a joke. What a joke, Antoine Griezmann.
Bro, those misses are unbelievable how close he was. It's how do incredible. You get that much lift on it to miss it?
It doesn't – no, and, like, the first shot should be in no matter what. And then it hits off the crossbar. It could not have come back to you better. And what he has a weird flailing chest shoulder shot throwing it over the crossbar. Like, you have time. Why not just like trap that a little bit? Like, let it bounce off of you and then put it in the back of the net. There are several things you can do with the ball besides just panically chest it over the crossbar.
Well, hey, he's brand new. He hasn't been playing for 12 years. Oh, wait, he has.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. He's he should be better than this. He's played more games than everyone on the team besides Frankie de Jong and Pedri. No reason for it. We need players to put goals in the back of the net. Antoine Griezmann is not doing that. I cannot wait for Ansu Fati to be back. Only 2 less goals than Antoine Griezmann this season, with 16 less games played.
Wow, what a stat. Peyton pulling out the stat from the stat hat.
Yeah, but speaking of players coming back, Ronald Araujo back to Barcelona. He is back in training as of today. He should be available versus our game against Sevilla this weekend, which we will talk about. But Barcelona get the 3 points, 3-0 victory. Huge. Over Elche at home. It was big. It was needed. And we got the points that we desperately had to have in order to keep this any kind of contest.
Yeah. And 53 goals in the La Liga season for Barcelona well outpaces the big teams from the capital city. 45 for Atleti, 42 for Real Madrid. So, yeah, you guys pacing the league in terms of goals.
That's good.
It's the results.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's the dumb mistakes that we make all the time.
Weird shit. Yeah, but solid win. Good to see. Just for football fans in general, good to see Messi back at his best, even if it is against little Elche. Mm-hmm. But Real Madrid had a game against the goddess. It's not often you have a game against just a straight-up goddess.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was funny. Yeah, I looked it up. I was reading off the Wikipedia page on the last podcast.
Yeah.
Just because I was enchanted by most teams, you know, the Brescia, you know, or it's, or most teams in Italy, right? Fiorentina, from Florence. Okay. Got it. Atalanta. What? They're from Bergamo. No, but we're calling it. Fuck that. We're calling it a Greek goddess.
That's awesome. Let's I support it.
Go. And they play that kind of football. I didn't mention this on the last podcast, but they scored 98. I got close. They scored 98 goals last year in Serie A. For some reference, Real Madrid scored 70.
Holy cow.
In La Liga. So this is an elite offensive unit.
Mm-hmm.
How many shots on target did they have against Real Madrid, Peyton?
Three.
Zero.
Not one.
Not a single shot on target. And so obviously we're going to get to it. The big decision. Oh, man. I'm so excited to about to talk about it. The red card, of course. But, yeah, this was a huge game for Real Madrid. Obviously, Real Madrid have been kicked out in the round of 16 the last 2 years. The Ajax debacle, which will be forever burned in my brain. Real Madrid won the first leg 2-1 and lost the second leg 4-1. Incredible. Mm. And then last year, of course, the Man City. I think we lost 2-1. Yeah, on the Danny Carvajal penalty. Isco managed a goal in the first leg. And then the second leg just got kind of just a... I don't think we had a chance the whole game.
Right.
Wearing the pink. The pink. What is with the pink? This is my other thing. I think the uniforms are hurting the team.
Yeah.
Real Madrid, the royal club, right? What do they look good in? Get the white, you get some gold. And with the white. Mm-hmm. That means you bring in the trophies, right? Because we win a lot of trophies. And they had a couple of years ago, they had this great kit. Just with the gold, the three gold stripes on both sides. Just go with that. Just go with that every year.
Yeah, legal, just simple, tasteful. You want clean black cum stains on your jerseys. That's what you're looking for.
What is this? Yeah, we have these weird smudged ones that have the cum stains that Peyton referred to. And then we have our home ones now are the white ones, but they have the pink.
The accents and stuff, yeah. It's too needy.
Just, I don't know, it just doesn't look good. Also, our record at the salmon kits is horrific. We lost to Valencia in the salmon kits. We lost to Man City in the salmon kits. But anyway, we had the white kits this game with the pink trim. And sure enough, they brought us down. But we did end up with the win. I mean, the two shots are on target. Three out of our last four games, we haven't allowed a shot on target. It's a fun one, right? The Getafe game. We didn't, and I think, there was another one in there. One of the other crappy teams.
That's impressive. It's very impressive.
Yeah, Toni Kroos also, before we get into the play-by-play, Toni Kroos had four key passes, and he was 130 of 139.
Holy cow.
Of his passes, a 94% clip. Obviously, most of that was just passing it around aimlessly, which was most of this game. And to guys who just wasted every opportunity, including Casemiro and Vinny. But let's talk about the starting lineup first. My first note for this game, I had a very few amount of notes. I had about half a page of notes watching this game. I texted Peyton. Nice.
Yeah.
The first one was Isco at striker? ? Wow.
Interesting.
Yes. Interesting. And not in a good way.
No. Why? What possessed Zidane to do that? Just lack of human bodies that you can put in a jersey?
Yeah, so, I mean, I could go through the list of hurt Real Madrid players, but let's just summarize it and say everyone's hurt. All the good players are hurt, besides the midfield. Defense, attack, all the good players are hurt. That's all I need.
Any players of consequence are not available.
Yes, are not available. So he went with Vinny on the left, Isco up front. Asensio like a false nine, or Isco like a false nine, Asensio on the right, Cruz, Case, Modric, the old guard at midfield, and Mendy, Nacho, Varane, Vasquez in defense, and of course, Big Thibaut. For a reminder, this year, Real Madrid have 35 goals in all competitions. They were missing 17 of those with just Benzema being out.
Wow.
That's 49% of our goals are just in the big Frenchman.
That's half your goal scoring.
After goals, if you count Valverde, Ramos, Hazard, and Rodrigo, who also probably would have started. Remember, Rodrigo's the Champions League killer. He averages like a goal a game for whatever reason in Champions League. We're missing 9 more goals. So that means of the probable starters, we were missing 74% of the goals.
Wow. What a stat.
And, oh boy.
That's it looked up. Like it.
It looked like it, didn't it? But Real Madrid had control of the game early. Atalanta basically couldn't get the ball. Just, I think, 29% possession, I believe, all game.
I was wondering, how come Atalanta and some of these Italian teams are, like, all Slavic? Why do they have all of these, like, Eastern European players?
I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting.
And you know what I found out is that the name slave comes from the root word Slav, from, like, the Slavic countries.
There you go. There's some entomology. Well, we should make this a soccer and entomology podcast.
Yes, El Clasico Podcastico. What's the entomology in that name?
Yes, there you go. Do some little archaeological research. But 13th minute of this game, excellent passing, started by who else? Toni Kroos. It's that pass backwards to pass forward thing, right? That people go, Kroos, oh, well, half of his passes are just side to side. Oh, yes, maybe. But it is side to side because then he will pass forward 3 passes later. Peyton, he's looking 5 steps ahead. He's like Neo.
He's playing 4D chess.
Exactly.
We're all playing Yahtzee.
Exactly. Takes a couple passes, passes it out to the wing to Vinny, who puts in 1. Ferland Mendy, he's in on goal. Or is he?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
that was my reaction.
He's got the ball going down like into the box on the left side. It looks like there might be a player making a run to the right from him as well.
Was it a clear goal scoring opportunity?
Not with Mendy on the ball.
Well, that's the thing, right? It shouldn't matter who's on the ball.
Right. No, I know it doesn't, but the position for me wasn't alone on goal.
So he's taken down by, I believe it's Fusal, the defender. Let me make sure I got that right. But my goodness, the reaction to this has basically been Real Madrid got away with one because the referee, Mendy's on the edge of the box. There's nobody in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's a clear goal scoring. Now, you don't have to be one-on-one to get a red card. Just has to be, are you denying a clear goal scoring opportunity?
Right. And they kept saying he was the last defender.
Yeah, but there was another defender like to the right. And again, that defender came into the frame after the red card. So, right. It's interesting, right? So I think we can all agree that this is usually a yellow card.
Yeah, I think so.
Depending on what you think it should be, it's practically given as a yellow card.
And the other thing about it is that it didn't seem like he was gunning directly towards the goal. It looked like he was taking it down the side of the box, like towards the baseline.
Yeah, but I mean, I like it. And I'll say this. I like it because I have an extreme view of what should be done in these circumstances. We've talked about it in this podcast. Mm-hmm. I hate how guys get away with. So there's a guy like Vinny, right? And he's going, he kicks the ball past the defender, like on the wing. And it's just a yellow.
Right.
But if he had gotten past him, okay, yeah, he's 30 yards away from the goal. But if he had gotten past him, it would have been one-on-one. So the guy just like hockey checks him 10 yards into the, and I'm like, it should be a red.
Right.
Because it's a, you're basically saying it's okay to just totally blow up a breakaway and just go with a yellow, which honestly, like these guys don't care about a yellow. You see, right? They call it a tactical foul.
Right.
Inside. Right. Like, oh yeah, well, that was good. He meant to do it, but whew, thank God he did that. It would have been 2-on-1.
Yeah, you'll see a lot like at the beginning of breakaways, like around the half line, center, defensive mid, or defender will just grab a player like around the jersey and just be like, no, you're not going farther. I'll take the yellow for this. But those are never reds.
Yeah, and it's an easy calculation in their mind. 'Cause I'm like, oh, I can avoid a second yellow. We basically avoid any punishment, and we take away a huge chance.
Right.
I think, and we've talked about it on the spot before, I think that should be a red because, oh my God, it's so hard to score in soccer.
Right. Also, if you're not going for the ball, if there's no play on the ball.
No, it's purely cynical. Yeah.
Right.
And I think that should be taken into account too. It's just like they're just like whatever. Or they wrap them up. They do that sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, like a rugby tackle.
Like no, to me that's a red, and that's why to me this should be a red. I know it's not practically done that way, but I think it was the right call because. But I mean, if the reds were given out the way I thought there were reds, there'd be reds all the time.
Right, right.
But it would get them to stop doing that. You wouldn't see these tactical fouls. You'd see a lot more breakaways and goals, Peyton. And aren't goals the whole fun part?
Goals?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why we watch.
That's the whole fun part. So I'm all for it. And yeah, a bit controversial, but Real Madrid obviously get the red card. And then they really took advantage. They scored goal after goal. Yeah, it was like 4-0 by the break. Oh, wait. That's what we did. Absolutely nothing. We did absolutely nothing with it. Not a chance, Peyton. Not a chance until the 45th minute. So we get sent off in about the 16th minute.
So you have a one-man advantage for almost the whole game, like 70 minutes of the game.
Yep, effectively, right, 73, 75 minutes. One, two, three chances. I have three chances I wrote down. That's it.
Jeez.
70 minutes. 45th minute. It's a perfect ball. Who else? Of course, it's Toni Kroos. Puts it on an absolute plate. Just spins it in. Different, difficult angle free kick. Casemiro gets it on his meaty head, and he can just head it directly at the goalie from 2 yards out. I could not believe this didn't go in.
Ugh. Gotta be a goal here.
You gotta make that.
No excuse.
Gotta make that. Of course, Kroos involved everywhere. 48th minute, Modric got a nice shot off top of the box. Just gets deflected. This one, too. I was like, oh, my God, that's going to roll in. It just piddles. Just wide. Boys, so cool. Atalantic counting their luck at this point. Seems like it's going Real Madrid's way. And then Vinny, you're like, this is it. 53rd minute, set play, corner, Kroos, Isco, back to Kroos. Crosden was with his left foot. It curls down. Somehow just Vinny, like on Christmas morning, standing there. It falls
right just, to his It feet. Just like settles at his feet. Yeah.
It's perfect. He's alone. He's 4 yards out. And he's just as stunned as all of us. And he's confused. I don't know if he was like, this wasn't supposed to happen. I don't know what to do with this. And yeah, he just biffs it. It's right over the bar. It's Griezmann-esque.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. It looked like he was trying to like shoot a soccer ball into a basketball hoop or something, the way he took that shot. It was like a little scoop up and over the crossbar.
Just making it more difficult, right?
Incredible. Yeah, yeah. I didn't understand the technique that he used for it and why. It must have just been sheer panic. Like
harder to miss.
Red, yeah.
Another one, harder to miss. Just close your eyes and throw your foot at it and you'd probably have a better chance.
And this was like 53rd?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That one, no bones about it. That very Griezmann-esque.
Really funny, too, because, well, we've been chronicling these now. It feels like there's, like, been four or five of these since Vinny made his last goal. So, I don't know. I guess.
Maybe Benz was right. Maybe he is playing against you.
Benz, be nice. He's 20. But our, Benz wasn't in. And Ferland Mendy, our left back. Well, I think only has one goal for Real Madrid. Oh, he actually has two now.
When left-footed, Ferland Mendy.
Left-footed. But he goes, Benzema, you're on the bench. That's fine. I am our striker.
Mm-hmm.
85th minute. It's a chipped pass. I think this should be noted. It's a great chipped pass by Cruz, which is headed away. I thought it was going to be a great goal scoring opportunity, but no. So there's a corner, set play off the corner kick. Zidane said this was a designed play. Cruz kicks it into Modric, and the defense collapses on Modric because they're like, oh, he's going to cross it. So they're not paying attention to who else at the top of the box. Ferland Mendy takes one touch, and then he's been watching a lot of Neymar tapes, Cristiano Ronaldo tapes, from 30 yards, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Bends it like Beckham. It's 4 yards outside of the goal, and it bends just inside the crossbar. The goalie reaches with all his might, doesn't have a chance. I don't think Mendy will score another better one in his whole career.
No, that it was like a Roberto Carlos free kick or something, the way that curled in near post with his off foot, his weak foot. I've seen this guy cross, Mark. I know what his accuracy looks like.
We saw it last week.
Yeah. Insane.
It was right to a defender. Unbelievable. Golazo. I'd given up all hope. I had chalked this one down as a very disappointing 0-0 draw. But Real Madrid find a way in their competition to get the 1-0 win. Obviously, why was this so important? This counts as an away goal for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there's zero fans.
Right. But
I guess it counts as an away goal. So Real Madrid have the 1-0 lead coming back to the big – oh, actually, it's not the big Bernabeu. I will just be at the Di Stefano, of course.
The
big white house. I was going to say the big white house, but no, it's not.
Not quite yet. It's still undergoing renovations.
Yeah, whatever. The $900 million renovations. I don't know. It's some impossible number. I'm like, why couldn't you just build a new one?
Right. What is it going to just be solid gold? How are they changing it?
Knowing Real Madrid, it probably will be.
Yeah. Oh, man. The look on Atalanta's keeper after that went in was just gut-wrenching.
And the look on Mendy's, there's a really good still of Mendy. And it's like surprise and delight. And it's just every great emotion. And Vasquez is kind of standing there like a little sheepish guy about to give him a hug. And Vasquez, by the way, by the end of the game, the only player totally covered in mud.
Oh, wow. You love to see it.
Like he's like the dog you send out, and you're like, well, it hasn't been raining. I don't understand. Where did you get this mud from? But he's a gamer. Mendy's a gamer. Saves us. Really kind of like a miracle from Mendy.
Oh, man. It was.
To put Real Madrid in the driver's seat, 82% to advance. And honestly, if he hadn't made that, I would have said probably Atlanta maybe would have been favorites. Going in, because the away goals are so big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was Mendy's Madrid miracle right there, getting a goal in Bergamo.
But we'll see. So we got a couple games before that, and Real Madrid were up at Ajax 2-1 2 years ago, and we absolutely blew it against, again, a very offensively skilled Atalanta team. But honestly, I was a little disappointed in Atalanta. Just because I know you're down to 10 guys, but you see some of these good teams down to 10 guys. They don't just like totally fold, but they didn't create a chance the whole game.
They were never threatening. They never looked like it. So
no. So, I mean, as much has been written about Real Madrid getting the, you know, there was one post on goal.com that said Atalanta 0, referee 1.
Okay. Yeah. Well, see, this should just go to show that you guys don't need to pay Ramos.
Exactly. We got the refs on our side.
Yeah. As long as you can pay the refs, you don't need to pay your star center back.
Come on. Don't need to save your legendary center backs. But we'll be looking forward to that. But before next round of Champions League, Peyton, got some more La Liga business to take care of as the title race heats back up.
Absolutely, we do. I know Barcelona plays Saturday against Sevilla, and this is going to be such a big game. This is going to determine whether we place third or fourth, probably, in La Liga this season. We hope it's not fourth place, like just holding on for dear life to that Champions League slot. But it's going to come down probably to this game Saturday morning against Sevilla, against our former player, Ivan Rakitic, against a team that just beat us up and down the pitch in the Copa del Rey, the first leg. Jules Koundé, who's been killing it. And Sevilla are going to want to win this game as well, because they just lost to Dortmund in the Champions League. 3-2, Erling Haaland, a resounding victory in that game, I should say. Pretty incredible. He had a brace in that one. But Sevilla are just coming off a 2-0 win to Osasuna. They are flying high. They were above us in the table until we beat Elche and got a game ahead of them. So hopefully we can hold on to that with a victory against them again this weekend.
They won six straight at least.
Yeah. They're incredibly on point right now. Luke de Jong playing really well. Jules Koundé playing well. Basically, their whole team, Munir El-Haddadi, Munir, who could forget. They've got such a talented squad, actually. A lot of really good players on that field. It makes sense that they're vying for Champions League place with us right now. It's not going to be easy. Things haven't been going well for us as
they El-Nesri, Youssef El-Nesri. Nasiri. He's 13 goals.
Jesus.
In love only.
Yeah.
That's more than Big Ben's.
That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, he's really good. Youssef El-Nesri could probably beat Oscar Mingueza or Clement Longley or Samuel Umtiti, but we are going to have Ronald Araujo back and playing center back for us. So that's going to be huge. He's a stalwart defensively. And we are finally, for the first time in like 3 months, going to have a defensive lineup that we can trust. Because here's my starting lineup for the game against Sevilla this weekend. Ter Stegen from left to right, Jordi Alba, Ronald Araujo, Gerard Piqué, and Sergiño Dest. That's a solid back line right there. And I am happy with that.
The American. And
then, that's right. The American, who's been playing well. He played well in his in the last 15 minutes against Elche. In the midfield, we're going to go traditional. Pedri, Sergio Busquets, and Frankie de Jong. And then up top, I think we should keep doing what we're doing. Let's have Dembele start at the left wing in this game. We'll have Messi play the nine, and then we'll have Francisco Trincão play on the right wing, and we'll have a good trident up there, and we're gonna hopefully win this game because we really need to. But how can we know what Barcelona team is going to show up this weekend? Is it going to be the team we saw against Alaves, or is it going to be the team we saw against Cadiz? Hopefully he doesn't put in that same stale, stagnant, lethargic lineup that we've been seeing, and he mixes it up and we come out firing and with a chip on our shoulder that we need to prove something, not just to Sevilla but to ourselves and to the fans, that we can beat this team, that we're better than, you know, a second tier La Liga team in Sevilla. I think we're going to win this game, but it's going to be tight. I think we win it 2-1. I think Messi gets one goal. And I think Francisco Trincão finally breaks through and gets one past the goalie. It's going to be a really good game. It's going to be intense. I hope Rakitic doesn't score for them, but I bet Nasiri does. He just gets one past us on a counterattack. Might get by PK. Might get by PK. But we're going to win this game 2-1 and get all 3 points, pushing us ahead of them and putting us only in competition with you guys, Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid, for the La Liga title this year.
Ooh, so yeah, that's, oh my goodness, very exciting. Yeah, 3-4. Barcelona hanging on. You guys are 2 points above Sevilla, but they have a game in hand.
That's right.
A win there would put them ahead. So yeah, really exciting.
We have to win. We have to win. We can't drop points like this anymore. We have to win this game.
Yeah. So, yeah, should be a good one. And then Real Madrid have to play another tough team, fifth place, Real Sociedad. So none of these, man, I feel like we've been playing 17th, 18th, 19th every week recently, mm-hmm. but no such luck. Real Madrid have to play a Real Sociedad game, who are actually way ahead of even Real Madrid in expected goal difference this year. Their expected goal difference is 21.4. That trails only Barcelona's 26.8.
Wow, that's impressive. I did not know that Real Sociedad were like that.
Real Madrid are only plus 13.3, so 9 goals behind. Sociedad.
So effing lucky.
Yeah, so it's about good finishing, right? So I think the difference is Benzema's 5 or 6 screamers from outside of the box.
Right.
I think make that difference. And yeah, you guys are actually trailing your expected goal difference by 5. So there's the Messi screamers in mm-hmm. there, probably just by themselves. And then Griezmann brings you down, so he kind of like, evens it out. But yeah, Real Sociedad. Yeah, a weird stat, right? Atleti in 4th in that, plus 12.9. So Sociedad, none to be trifled with. They're 4th in goals, 4th in goals allowed. So they're going to be a very difficult team. And honestly, one I don't really want Real Madrid running into. There's been no reports of anyone coming back from injury, which I was scrubbing the internet for. So I guess it's just going to be these dudes again. Vinny, I guess Mariano, I guess Asensio, who played really
Some of those younger kids from La Castilla don't look too bad.
Kind of like the Hugo Duro guy.
Yeah.
At least like he looks like he's got a shot on him, like he wants to take it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they all got blocked, but hey. You got to take it.
Yeah, you got to take the minutes that you're given.
There's something that really bothers me about Mariano. He doesn't look up ever. Like, he always has, there's always runners. Like, I'm like, oh my goodness, dude. Just get your head up. There's a guy running into the box.
His awareness is terrible, not just with people like that he can find for passes, but the defense, where they're setting up their line for offsides.
Yeah, and he also just seems intent on dribbling through 4 guys.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm like, I don't know that that's the right decision there, bud. Right. I appreciate the effort. But so I don't know. I guess we're going to see him. I guess we'll see, obviously, Cruz Case Modric, midfield, Mendy, Nacho, Varane, Vasquez. Why am I even naming this? It's who has to play. Thibaut at the back. This is going to be a tough one. I think we're going to tie. I just think a lot of energy was expended, just barely scraping by. Champions League, and it's like a lot mentally to get up for these games.
Yeah.
So I think there's going to be a little bit of a layoff. Sociedad are really good, and I think we're going to stumble a little bit here in the title race. I think we'll see a 1-1 draw. We drew Sociedad 0-0 earlier in the season, which was one of the most boring games of the year. Real Madrid's expected goals was just 0.5 that game. To Sociedad's 0.8. So there was basically it was the first game of the season. Basically no chances for each side. I think we'll see something similar. I think we will see, I guess I'll say, I don't know. I'm going to regret this. I guess Asensio maybe will score. I don't know.
Oh, maybe he'll get one of those neat old-fashioned left-footed curlers.
Come on, he's got to make one eventually, right?
Yeah, one of them's got to go in again.
You shoot 100, you got to make at least 2. So there you go. That's my prediction. Sure to fail. 1-1 draw for Real Madrid on Monday. I think our first Monday game.
Ooh, right on. Opening the door a little bit for Barcelona. And Barcelona playing back-to-back games against Sevilla, because we play them Saturday and then Wednesday.
Weird.
Mm-hmm.
So exciting. We can't wait. You want to save the jobs for next week, or do you want to do a couple?
We can do a couple.
All right, let's do a couple.
We have a couple what we think players would be doing for day jobs on our respective teams, what they either look like or act like. And
yeah, I felt pretty good about these. This was really fun coming up with these, right? Because I felt really, I seem to gravitate towards some certain things. What did you have some, did you have some good ones?
I'll throw out one to start with. Jordi Alba, I think he would be a lawyer because not a call goes by without him objecting to it. Objection!
What?
Yeah.
What? I like so that. That's good.
He argues every call.
I can imagine it too, with like a three-piece suit.
Right, just carrying a briefcase off the bus. So Jordi Alba, he's a lawyer.
I like it. So I'm going to go with my top one. Where are my little notes here? Oh, I mean, Cruz is the easiest one, obviously. He's a nuclear physicist, or he designs reactors, because it's something you gotta be incredibly precise. Not a molecule can be put wrong. And obviously, sporting like a 94% pass completion this year, he doesn't get it even a mouse's whisker wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'd hire him.
Precision. Absolutely. Exactly. I would take him too. I'll go with Marc-Andre Ter Stegen. He would be a mechanical engineer because he's German. And all Germans are engineers by law.
That's an easy one.
Yeah. Right?
Famous cars. Yeah. I mean, come on. How many good German engineering? That's like the Mercedes-Benz's whole deal.
That's right. And I'll do one more for today. Gerard Piquet. If he were not playing professional soccer, what would he be doing? Well, he'd be a professional stay-at-home dad because he's married to Shakira.
Yeah, you don't have to do much there, bud.
Nope, his future is set.
Just some diaper bags and your your Toyota Sienna.
Mr. Mom, Gerard Piquet.
Yes, and just be damn happy about it.
Mm-hmm. He's a soccer dad.
Yeah, that's fine. That there's no indignity in it, Gerard.
No, I don't think so. And you know what? It's about time.
Yes, yes.
That's what I said.
World Cup legend? Maybe. Also, you got to make their lunches.
Yeah, yeah. Also, remember, Susan doesn't like crust.
Yes, no. Little Susie. Not a big fan of crust. I have a bunch down here, but which are my, okay, I got an easy, I got, I'm going to give my, the ones I'm sure of first, and the next week we'll reveal some more. Sergio Ramos, here, you want to guess?
Sergio Ramos, pirate.
Oh, pirate would have been good. I went with real jobs though, so I put butcher. Okay.
Oh, that could be good. I could see him wielding one of those.
Yeah, one of those like, big cleavers. Yeah,
cleavers, that's what it is. That's the word I'm looking for.
Just kind of blood spattering on his face and just him kind of really enjoying the whole deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that. Him getting really into it. He can make some good Spanish ham for us.
Oh, yeah. So actually, you know, I don't want to do anymore. I want to save
them. Yeah, we'll save
them. I like those too.
We'll roll them out. It'll keep people entertained.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So those are a few day jobs. And those are also our predictions.
Yeah.
All right. So we are going to be looking forward to these games. Really hope Barcelona can pull one out against Sevilla. It's going to be a tough game. And our players tend to not rise for tough matchups.
It's a couple of really tough games for both of our teams. So I'm excited after seeing a lot of these bottom of the table games. So yeah, we'll see. And until Monday, a la Madrid.
And as always, Visca El Barça. And please follow us on Twitter at El Clasico Podcastico. Mm-hmm. We live solely off of your 5-star reviews. And please give us those 5-star ratings and that lovely reviews. Feel free to send us an email with any questions, comments, additions, fact-checking you might have.
Anger.
That's right. ElClassicoPodcastico@gmail.com. We're here for you. We're ready to respond.
We'll be your psychiatrists. Mm-hmm. And we love you very much. We love doing the podcast. We hope you enjoy it too.
That's right. We love you.
Love you. Okay, later.
Enjoy the games.
Yeah.